Turn, please, to Exodus, the 34th chapter of Exodus. We've been hearing this evening of the impossibility of man entering heaven apart from the new birth. I would just like to notice with you in this second portion of the meeting of four impossibilities with God. Generally, when we think of God, we think of the verse in Jeremiah that tells us there is nothing impossible with God. The words of our Lord Jesus, quoting the same words, there's nothing impossible. But you who are not saved here tonight, I would like you to notice these four impossibilities with God. Exodus chapter 34, notice verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him, before Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. God will by no means clear the guilty. Now the book of Revelation, please, chapter 21. And verse 25. And the gates of it, that heavenly city, shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now the Gospel of Matthew, please, chapter 5 for a fourth reading, the 5th of Matthew. Verse 25, the words of our Lord Jesus, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Now finally in John's Gospel and chapter 6, please. The 6th of John. Verse 36, But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now God will bless the reading of His Word. In my first passage, I would like to speak of the impossibility of God to look lightly upon sin. In the second passage, I want you to consider the impossibility of God to allow one sinner into heaven. A total impossibility. In our third reading, I would like to apply the words of the Lord Jesus to the principle of the impossibility of God to allow one sinner out of hell. What a solemn thought. By no means come out from thence. Impossible. But thank God for John chapter 6 and verse 37 on this Saturday night. The impossibility that the Lord Jesus would turn away a sinner that turns to Him for salvation. By no means, him that cometh unto me, I will in no means cast out. May I trust tonight, in the light of what we have heard and what we shall hear, that this Sunday night, Saturday night conference meeting will find some poor broken-hearted sinner turning to the Lord Jesus to be received, that they might be saved. That's the possibility of every gospel meeting. And we want to say to you kindly tonight, friend, at this section of the meeting, God's salvation is not a process. It is not something that you must go through gradually and finally arrive at a solution. We have heard of a man who very, very likely was thinking that he needed more knowledge in order to arrive at a conclusion regarding the great truth of eternal life. But the Lord Jesus taught him it was instantaneous, in a moment of time. And right in this meeting this evening, wherever you may be found, young man or young woman, or stranger to the preaching like this, we want to confirm to you, friend, we want to make it absolutely certain that God's salvation, eternal salvation for the world to come, deliverance from judgment and assurance of heaven, is instantaneous, for it is a gift from God. It comes from the hand of God the moment that a poor sinner places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. And so we're glad to tell you tonight that as you sit in this little audience, you could turn from the darkness of your despair with the awfulness and the darkness of your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ as a poor repentant sinner and find eternal life to be born again in a moment of time. Now in the first little section that we read from Exodus chapter 34, I would like to notice from that passage the statement that we want to think of. God can by no means clear the guilty. That is, He cannot wink or look lightly upon sin. God can by no means look lightly upon any sin. You see, man would like to categorize sin and call some of them fatal, if you will, and some of them lighter and different degrees and categories of sin. But my friend in the meeting tonight, if a sinner ever comes to grips with the reality of what it means to have sinned against God, there's no such a thing as a category of sin. Every sin is fatal. Every sin against God is in the light of a long eternity. Oh, young man, young woman, older friend in this meeting, I would like to appeal to you in this center section of the gospel meeting tonight and ask you kindly, have you ever considered the tremendous reality of your own sin? The responsibility of being a sinner in the eyes of a holy God? Your Creator, the author of your breath, the merciful sustainer of your life, have you ever considered the tremendous responsibility and consequence of being a sinner before God? Now these are solemn words that I hope that you will take to heart tonight. And you, dear younger folk in the meeting, let me appeal to you kindly, with all of life stretching out before you, if God should grant you the privilege of life and of health, and with all of your youth and the vigor of it, let me say to you kindly, The solemnity and sobriety of thinking of being a sinner does not appeal to you. But I want to say to you, dear young friend, the awfulness of being a sinner before God will be faced by you sooner or later. And we sincerely desire that you may come to grips with the facts of being a sinner, a guilty sinner, responsible before and holy God, the Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, and that as a sinner you may come to repentance and flee to the sinner's Savior even tonight and know the joy and the assurance, a scriptural assurance, of your sins all forgiven righteously and eternally through the value of the precious blood of Christ. And so tonight, the awfulness and solemnity of being a sinner is brought before us in Exodus chapter 34. It is impossible for God to wink at sin. That's impossible. Impossible. Men wink at sin. Oh, how they wink at sin. They close their eyes to sin. We see it all around us. We find it in families. We find it in government. We find it in every sort of system, in the business systems of life. We see men winking at unrighteousness, just closing their eyes to unrighteousness. But I want to say, my dear young man, there's never been an unrighteous word come out of your mouth that God has winked at. Never once. Young woman, there has never been an evil thought in your mind or an unrighteous word in your mouth that God has ever looked lightly upon. And He will hold you responsible for every one. God can by no means wink at sin, clear the guilty, an impossibility with God. We are dealing with a holy God, a thrice holy God, before whom angelic created beings that have never fallen in sin do cover their very beings in their ministry before Him and cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And yet, young friend, you have dared to use your lips, to whom God has given you the very form, to use them for evil and for sin. Oh, the pollution of sin in the mind of men. The pollution of sin in the hands of men. The vileness of sin upon the tongues of men. And yet they fear not to meet an holy God. And yet they fear not to slip away from the moorings of life with a life of sin behind them. Oh, the awfulness and the weight, the solemnity of being a sinner. Oh, that God would sober us tonight. I fear in my own soul we handle sin too lightly. We fail to grasp the enormity of one sin. To think of the sin of Adam in one act of disobedience, and the whole of the human race was plunged into the despair and the darkness and the desolation and the depravity of sin. And every human being born from Adam and Eve, have been found in the awfulness of the depravity and the totality of the ruin of sin. There's no hope in it, friend. No hope in sin. Oh, what an awful condition to be a sinner. Would to God that men would fall on their faces and cry for mercy. For I've sinned against God. I need mercy, lest I be cut down in my sin. Impossible. Impossible for God to wink at sin. My, it's a solemn thing, my dear friend, to be found in a meeting like this, amidst the Lord's people, those who have come to know the saving grace and power of God, those who rejoice in a conscious scriptural knowledge of their many, many sins, all forgiven, put away through the value of the precious blood of Christ, looking back to a day when they received the new birth, and yet tonight finds you amongst them, dear young friend, in the solitude of your condition as being a defiled sinner in the sight of God. My, how solemn! Would to God it may make you weep, my young man. I fear that you roll sin as a sweet morsel under your lip, and you have boasted of your escapades in sin, and you've boasted of the pleasure that you've found in iniquity. What a mercy that God has not cut you down and left you alone in your darkness to dwell and die and be lost forever and ever in sin. Thank God He did not cut me down in my sin. And I thank God, I am careful to thank Him every day that He ever delivered me from a life of bondage to sin. Oh, what a mercy to think of being saved from sin, which God can by no means, it's absolutely inconceivable that God will look lightly upon sin. Would to God tonight that it may become a serious, solemn burden to the hearts of young and old in this meeting tonight, if you've never had the joy of knowing the liberty of God's great forgiveness for all your sins. In my second passage, I read that it is impossible for God to allow into heaven anything that defileth, or that worketh an abomination, or that maketh a lie, but they whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. An impossibility for you to enter heaven. If you were to die tonight, my dear young friend, and we say it carefully, for we do not want catastrophe to cross your pathway, but I say to you kindly, dear young woman, if you should sleep your last sleep of rest on earth tonight and slip into eternity, you could not go to heaven in your sin. It's impossible. God will make no exceptions. That young woman in the gospel meeting tonight, or that young man whose father's heart is burdened in prayer and whose mother's cheeks are stained with tears, even in a gospel meeting like this, as they weep and pray silently unto God for their daughter or for their son, that they might seek God's salvation and the forgiveness of their sins. I say, my friend, with all due respect for the concern of a father's heart, for I have sons on their way down to hell, and I yearn for their salvation. But I say to you kindly, if you die in your sin, the tears of your father would never avail to keep you out of hell. Oh, how awful the thought, my friend, that it is impossible with God to open the door of the glories and the joys untold and unending of heaven with the Lord Jesus forever to one sinner. It's impossible. Impossible. My dear young friend, the solemnity of being a sinner in Exodus 34 brings us to the awful realization of my defilement before God in the vileness of my sin. But oh, when I turn to Revelation 21 and verse 27 and ponder the eternity that stretches out before every one of us, only a breath away, oh, the tremendous reality of slipping the moorings of life and going out into the great eternity of God. What would it ever be, young man, young woman, to slip away as you are and never be in heaven, never enter heaven? How awful the cost if your soul should be lost, and in hell if you die as you are. The awfulness of being a sinner in its hopelessness. No hope of heaven. There's absolutely no room in heaven for you tonight, young man, young woman, as you are found in your sin. No hope for you entering heaven. Oh, the bleakness of eternity.
the awful darkness that stretches out before the soul. There's not a ray of hope to lighten that pathway. There's not a ray of promise from glory that somehow some arrangement may be made, or some argument may be given, or some plea may be heard and answered by God to make an exception and let that young woman sitting in the Heightsville Conference into heaven if she dies in her sin. It's impossible. Impossible. By no means enter therein. No possible appeal. No possible claim. Absolutely no. It's inconceivable that there is any manner that the door of heaven will ever swing open to you, young man, young woman, in your sin. God has said, by no means enter therein. Oh, how awful. May God make sin real tonight. Mercifully bow the heavens and cause the weight of sin with its awful defilement and its hopelessness to weigh heavy upon the souls of men, that they might yearn to know that sin forgiven. Oh, friend, we appeal, we yearn to see you delivered. You've been blinded by the deceitfulness of the wicked one. You've been hardened through the deceitfulness of your own sin. And tonight find you unmoved, on the brink of a long, unchangeable eternity, in your sin. Impossible that God could take you into heaven. Oh, let me assure you, friend, it is not that God would not desire you in heaven, for he gave his beloved Son to come out of heaven to open the door of grace for the guilty, to open the fountain of cleansing for the defiled, to open the door of hope for the unworthy. It has all been accomplished by the Savior at Calvary. And the great message of the gospel of the grace of God is, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the heart of God, friend. That's the breathings of the heart of the God of the gospel. The message that would stir you tonight, that you might see your guilt and danger, comes from a heart that yearns to embrace you in the bonds of forgiveness and with grace to put away your past and give you the joy and the knowledge of everlasting life. Your sins forgiven. He yearns to save you. God wants to see you embraced, young man. He wants you in heaven. But your sins forbidden. Your sins tonight. If you died in your sins, it is impossible that you will ever enter heaven. In my third reading, I wish to underline the solemn fact. It is impossible to get out of hell if you die in your sin. Oh, I trust, friend, with all tenderness tonight, I may endeavor to appeal to your darkened heart, unfeeling perhaps of the weight of your iniquity, but oh, I do trust that if I cannot seek to warn you of the awfulness of your defilement, and I cannot appeal to your friend tonight of the bleakness and hopelessness of eternity with heaven's door closed against you, can I appeal to you, friend, by asking you kindly, what would it be for you to spend eternity in hell? How awful the cost to wake up in a lost sinner's hell. And the Lord Jesus has underlined these words, by no means come out from thence. Oh, the awfulness. It would remind my soul of the awful helplessness of the sinner in his death. What an awful helplessness. Every gospel preacher has the sad experience on occasion to stand by the bedside of a poor sinner slipping into eternity. The tongue seems to be tied, and the hands seem so empty. We would that we could put salvation into their soul, and as we quote the Word of God to them, as the moments tick by, and the breaths laboriously are taken, and the soul edges nearer to the brink of eternity, and the hopeless moment arrives without a ray of hope within the soul without a flicker of recognition. That soul slips away into eternity without the Savior. Oh, I ask you, friend, what will it be? From the depths of the lost and the damned in hell, there's heard the voice of that young man that once was pled with by the Savior, that young woman who sang the songs of the gospel meeting and was prayed over from the time of her birth, and heard the message at a loving Sunday school teacher's class, and from a father and mother that loved them, read around the table and prayed with them. And now they're gone, slipped away into the awfulness of hell forever, never to come back anymore. By no means. Oh, the awfulness. And I want to say, friend, the Lord's people tonight would use any means possible. I know of fathers who have wept upon my shoulder and said, I would have died for that boy. God knows I would have died for him. But they can't give their life for him. They're gone into eternity, never to return. And a father would have died to keep them out of hell. But it's impossible. Impossible. Oh, young man, when the moorings are loosed and your last fond farewell is given, and dear father embraces you, and mother lays her tear upon your cheek as you slip away, I say to you kindly, all the appeals of earth will never keep your soul from sinking into the despair and the darkness of hell. Oh, awful loss, eternal ruin. Darkness of midnight forever and ever. Unceasing sorrow as one is tossed upon the billows of despair in the pit of hell. What can it be? Oh, young man, can I not appeal to your reason, to your thinking tonight, as you know you have sinned against God, and the danger of death without the Savior, and the danger of eternity in hell forever and forever and forever. Oh, may the awfulness of it grip the preacher's heart tonight. I would to God with all my heart that I only could get a better grasp of what it means for men to be damned in hell. What an awful ruin amidst the darkness of the awfulness of that pit, and amidst the ruins of every lost soul, amidst the shrieks of demons and the moaning of the damned and the wailing and the blaspheming of unrighteous men forever and ever. There goes that young woman who once graced the gospel meeting with her presence. There goes that young man who held his Bible and sang the hymns, but he's gone forever. Oh, God forbid that a young man from this meeting should slip away to hell. God graciously preserve you, young man. Young woman, may the meaning of the gospel and the appeal of the Lord Jesus reach you now and stop tonight. Don't further go, dear young friend. Don't go away from the meeting tonight in your sin, on your way down to the pit, lest you perish and be lost, and by no means be able to come out from thence. Oh, the awful means that men would give anything to get out of hell. Men would give anything to be able to go and help someone come out of hell. But the Lord Jesus has said, they that would come from hence to you cannot, neither can they come from thence that would. Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Oh, the awful darkness and despair of men in hell forever. God write it upon our every heart. We need to be sobered as God's people. We need to be sobered as an audience in a gospel meeting like this tonight. Dear young men and young women, we trust that you will be sobered tonight to realize that once a soul goes into hell, the Word of God has said it's impossible for them to get up. But I close this little center portion of the meeting, and I would like to remind you of the words of my blessed Savior, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The impossibility If a yearning sinner tonight, in all their defilement and hopelessness and all their burden, were to turn to the Savior who went to Calvary to purchase salvation with his own life's blood, to answer to God for the sin question, that there might be a message of grace extended to the guilty tonight, and sinners in all their guilt, in all their defilement, are invited to turn just as they are to the Lord Jesus Christ. He does all the changing. He does all the cleansing. He is able and willing to save tonight. I note with you in that verse very simply as I close, three truths concerning the Savior of sinners. He first pronounces the sufficiency of his person to save. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. His sufficiency. My friend, I tell you, as we proclaim our Savior to you tonight, we want you to recognize that the Lord Jesus in His work at Calvary is absolutely sufficient. Having already met every claim of divine justice, that question has been settled. There's no question, friend, that the Lord Jesus has satisfied God. The evidence of it is the empty tomb. He raised Him from the dead. He has given evidence to the world that the work of Christ upon Golgotha's tree and the suffering of the darkness of Calvary is enough. Enough to wash the vilest sinner clean. Enough tonight to invite poor sinners that they might be saved. And on the basis of that work, the gospel message goes out to all. Christ has done enough. It is finished, was His cry. The work that saves is done. You don't add to it, friend. You don't put it together like a little jigsaw puzzle. The Lord is proclaiming a sufficiency. He says, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, don't turn to your feelings, friend. Don't turn to an experience. Turn to Christ, a living person who through the work of His cross is able to invite the guilty sinner to turn and be forgiven tonight. But He tells us of the scope of it. I Toronto, Canada, as a poor, miserable sinner on the way down to hell, I found that it took me in. Ah, blessed Savior, He took the likes of me in all my darkness and all my sin and washed me whiter than snow, if any man. Is there a young man or a young woman here tonight in the guilt and defilement of their sin, in the fear of the awfulness of the penalty of their sin from the hand of unholy God? We appeal to you, friend, on the basis of the work of the Lord Jesus. He says, If any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And He tells us, friend, the great simplicity of how to receive it. He says, come, I'll do all the giving. All the wonder of it, thank God, for the sinner that responds in simple faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes the claim that He's able. He makes the claim that He's willing, blessed be His name. And He's willing tonight, we can tell you with all our heart. And any sinner in this audience that will take Him at His word, He says, I will. He is willing. Are you, friend? Are you willing to turn from your sin and ruin and danger tonight and take the Lord Jesus at His word? He says, I will in no wise cast out. He'll never turn you away. There isn't a reason in you. There isn't a reason in the world that the Lord Jesus will turn you away tonight. If you come while there's time, take Him at His word. Come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's word for it, thou shalt be saved.